Do you wish healthy didn't have to be hard? What if there was another way? Well, there is. And it's the Jade Walker Way, where healthy is delicious, easy and exciting, and doesn't have to mean saying no to chocolate and red wine. Hello, amazing humans, and welcome back to episode number 2 of the Jade Walker Way. You're here with your qualified naturopath, Jade Walker. Am I so excited to get into this episode today? Firstly, because I have just come back from a 2.5 week beautiful holiday in Greece. So I'm feeling invigorated, rejuvenated, and so ready to bring you a heap of amazing information. First of all, though, I just wanted to say thank you so much for your incredible feedback from episode number 1. You know, quite often when you do these new things, it's quite daunting because you can do these new things, and I have done new things before and been so excited about it, poured my heart and soul into it, and then I'll get like one person give me some feedback, or it could just be a close friend who's saying something nice, you know, to make me feel good about what I've just done. So with this podcast, there was absolutely that fear that that could happen. But at the same time, I knew because I was putting my heart and soul into this, and I was just genuinely speaking from the heart, that surely people will resonate. And I think this is the perfect platform for me because I've been known my whole life as a talker. And so podcasting is perfect because I don't even have to think. I can just naturally flow with what I'm saying and what I love doing. So I think I've probably found the sweet spot for myself. So before I jump into today's hot topic, I thought I'd just tell you a little bit about my holiday, because today's topic actually does tie in a little bit, because we're going to be talking about natural health products that you can use overseas to help with your health, particularly when it comes to your gut. And so naturally, as a naturopath, I brought along a whole first aid kit of naturopathic tools for gut, skin, and any other little bits or pieces that might have just randomly broken out. I wanted to make sure that I was prepared. So my husband and I, we went to Greece. So we spent 4 days in Athens in Plaka, which is kind of like the central area right where the Acropolis is, which, oh my God, it is magical. Like if you've been to Italy before and seen the Colosseum, or you've been to Cambodia and seen Angkor Wat, it's that kind of same feeling. It's just to see such ancient beauty is breathtaking. It's hard to put in words, really. So after that, we went to an even more magical spot, I would have to say, called Metera, or written as Meteora. And it's about 2 to 3 hours north of Athens, where there are these sheer limestone rocks that create these huge mountains or projections out of the ground. And then sitting on top of them, it's hard to believe, but there are these monasteries. And honestly, look up Google now, look up Meteora, Greece, and you'll see what I mean. And it just takes your breath away, because when you actually go there and you see how steep and tall and I can't even put it into words how high these big cliff faces are, and then to see that they've built these monasteries on top of these mountains, it just takes your breath away. Like you can't even figure out how they did it, and it was actually to protect themselves against the invaders. So really cool. So after that, we went back to Athens and flew into Mykonos, which is the party island of the Greek islands. And to be honest, we were almost going to miss Mykonos because everyone says it is a party island, and I feel like I'm kind of past those days now. And we almost skipped it, and it was kind of in the last 2 months before the holiday we just decided, you know what, I think if we're going, we need to see what Mykonos is all about. And we landed around midnight. And you would think we would be really tired, and, you know, granted we were, but because they say Mykonos doesn't even get started till around 1 a.m, we thought, you know what, let's just quickly get changed, go out and check it out. And what a buzz. Mykonos is like nothing I've ever seen before when it comes to a town or a village. It's exactly what you see in the photos, like these little alleyways that are the size of half a lane on a road, and they just wind in and out, and there's this beautiful pitch white concrete that with these big stones in the middle, and then all these beautiful shops are open, the most beautiful tan European people just bustling everywhere. Everyone's just getting started. They've got a cocktail in their hand. It was just crazy. And the only thing that is the reason why you probably don't want to stay too long in Mykonos is because it's extremely expensive. So for a cocktail, it was about 15 euro, which is around 27 Australian dollars or something like that. So yeah, there was one night where we got a couple of cocktails only because really we were paying for the view. It was a beautiful sunset and it was just more that we were paying for the experience, I think. But yeah, I couldn't stay there for more than 2 days, I don't reckon. So then after that, we went to a little island called Naxos. So Naxos, I believe, is the biggest island out of them. And this one was gorgeous. I really loved Naxos because it had this just beautiful Greek island vibe. It was relaxed. It was the port was gorgeous with all these sailing boats in it. The sunsets were beautiful. And then again, you had that really cool village vibe of like all these little windy roads that you got lost in very easily. There were lots of little boutique makers and it was just, oh, it's magic. And then obviously the food, well, that's what really sold me. The food in these little towns was just unreal and just so fresh, and you could just tell it was made with love and it was so organic, and you can just tell that they ferment and culture things properly like we should still be doing, but unfortunately we don't as much in Western cultures these days. So that was amazing. But what was even more cool is that my brother actually surprised me by tapping me on the shoulder whilst we were waiting for our Airbnb host to pick us up. And I turn around, it's my brother. So that was a really big surprise. And I certainly said the F word several times. My husband actually had to say, Jade, just stop swearing. There's people around. Anyway, so that was a beautiful surprise. After that, we went to Santorini in Ia, which is spelled O-I-A. And Ia is, again, absolutely stunning. Out of all the islands we went to, Ia was hands down the most beautiful. Those volcanic suites that basically line the side of the cliff face in Santorini, and everything's quite open and everyone's got their own little jacuzzi, and it's just out of this world. And then after that, we finished off by going to Milos. And Milos reminded me a little bit of Naxos in the way that it was a bit more quaint and just had a bit more of a chilled vibe, cheaper than Santorini and Mykonos as well. And the beautiful thing about Milos is its beaches. It has so many beaches, and every single beach has its own little unique feature. So in particular, there was this one beach, and forgive me, I've actually forgotten what it's called off the top of my head, but this particular beach is very well known. Some also call it Moon Beach, because instead of sand dunes and instead of sand and instead of pebbles or anything that you're usually familiar with, it was actually just pure white, hard, almost like sand dunes, but completely hard like rock. And it was smooth and white. And it's just like nothing you've ever seen before. And then, of course, the water, as everywhere in the Greek islands is, it was just beautiful, beautiful turquoise and blues and just clear as day. And yeah, it was stunning. And then we finished off by sadly coming back to Athens, but it was nice to see the Acropolis one more time and got home. So we got home last Friday night. So that is how many days? 5 days ago. So I must admit, I am still getting over jet lag, but I'm definitely feeling a lot better and so excited to bring episode number 2 to you today. So in light of everything I just rambled off to you, I hope that was useful if you're planning on doing a Greek tour sometime soon. We're going to talk about naturopathic travel tips. So what you should bring along with you to prevent yourself from getting sick, and also what to do when you do get sick. As a naturopath, this is something that I get asked about all the time, or I find myself educating people on about all the time, especially because gut health is one of my biggest niches. And to be honest, every naturopath's biggest focus is gut health anyway. So we always want to educate our clients on how to look after their gut microbiome to prevent getting infections, particularly when you go to Southeast Asia or South America, where the water quality is quite poor, and obviously the food preparation techniques are poor as well. So you need to make sure that you're not going to pick up some sort of parasite, which can lead to really bad diarrhea, vomiting, and even hospitalization. So we don't want that. And I have had really bad traveler's diarrhea in the past because I've been to Southeast Asia several times. So I speak from a lot of personal experience, and my gosh, I wish I knew what I knew now back then, but at least I do know now. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump in. I'm going to kind of go from start to finish. So starting off with what you'd take with on your flight. So even whilst you're in flying, there's some things you can do to make it more comfortable for you, what you would do to get over jet lag, and then what we do throughout the holiday. All right. So first of all, for flying. So flying, particularly if you're flying economy like most of us, it's pretty uncomfortable, especially when you're doing a long haul flight. And you can also then get quite bloated because of the way that you're sitting, and then the plane food is usually pretty crappy. So there are a few things that you can actually do to offset this. And I just want to say thank you to a few of my friends who also chipped in, and those who chipped in on Instagram before I went away with some tips. And a couple of those are in here. So thank you so much, because I actually found them really useful. So one of them that came to as a suggestion by two friends, Rachel and Chelsea, thank you, girls. These, they both recommended to me to bring my own thermo on the flight so that I can get it filled up with hot water and have my own herbal tea. And given that I'm a herbal tea maker, I cannot believe I never knew this. So as soon as they told me that, I actually made up my own tea bags with both my Cleanse Me tea and my chai tea, because my masala chai, just FYI, is actually a digestive tea. So it's really good for bloating and digestive discomfort. And it doesn't have black tea in it either. So you can have it any time of the day. It's really good for like after dinner, after lunch, or when you're feeling bloated as well. So I made up some of those. I thought they would really come in handy on the plane. And sure enough, they did. So I flew with Singapore Airlines, which are really good and really supportive with that kind of thing. They'll fill up your thermo for you and bring it back. And I just popped a couple of my own tea bags in there. So I give that one a massive thumbs up. Thank you so much. Another one that I honestly wouldn't go anywhere without are digestive enzymes. So digestive enzymes you naturally produce. However, if you've got impaired digestive function, you may not be producing enough enzymes to break down your food. So when I talk about enzymes, you've got cellulase, lactase, amylase. So these break down your carbohydrates, your lactose, proteins, and fats, and so on. And the other thing as well that's really useful, and particularly in SIBO, you know, I have a lot of SIBO patients, something I've battled with as well. We often lower in hydrochloric acid too. So the other thing I'm going to do in this podcast is not only tell you what to do, but I'm also going to give you some brands to go and look up as well, which I think is going to be really helpful for you guys. So the two that I use, I have one called Multigest by Bioceuticals. And that one you can actually get at a lot of good health food stores. And the other one that I take is Metagest by Metagenics, and that one is a practitioner only product, so you will have to get it from your pracky like myself sometime, but you may be able to find a similar product at a health food store anyway. But the reason why this one's a bit different, because it also has the hydrochloric acid in it, which is also known as betaine, so that's going to really help to break down your foods, to alleviate it from just sitting there and fermenting and therefore causing discomfort and bloating. So those two things I highly recommend. Quite often they come in big jars. So what I did is I actually got some little tiny containers, like the little screw top plastic containers, and just popped enough of the tablets in there for my flight. And there's no problems taking those through customs either. So that was a really good one. So a few other little bits and pieces that I find are really useful for flying that aren't necessarily natural health related, but 100% take an eye mask with you. Moisturizer, so some hand moisturizer, I feel just helps you feel fresh and you can put it on your face as well. And a good lip balm. You cannot go wrong with having a good lip balm with you. And the other thing as well is try and stay hydrated, because flying actually dehydrates you. So you want to keep up your stores, especially if you're going to a warm place where you're just only going to become more dehydrated. Some electrolytes wouldn't hurt either. Right. So what's the next thing that you are going to struggle with? It's obviously jet lag. So jet lag, of course, you can't really do a lot to just click your fingers and all of a sudden you're not jet lagged. But of course, there are a few things you can do to help to lower that awful feeling that is jet lag. So the thing that what Ed and I did, my husband and I, is firstly what we did is we stayed up to the equivalent of 5 a.m. in Australia, and then we slept on the plane so that we were sleeping through the day, which was Greece's nighttime, if that makes sense. So that when we got to Greece, which was about 9 a.m. in the morning in their time, then we could still somewhat, you know, function, which, so 9 a.m. Greece time is 4 p.m. Australian time. So you can see how that would benefit. So a couple of other things. So sunshine is one of the best things that can help to reset your body clock, because sunshine inhibits melatonin production, which is the sleep hormone. So therefore, it'll help you stay awake. Another really good thing that you can do is take good quality B vitamin complexes, particularly methylated B vitamins, because they have bypassed an extra step to be more useful. So this is a really important reason why I often say to you guys that you need to get good quality supplements, and a lot of the time just try and get one from your practitioner, because they're going to know what's best for you, and we can usually access better quality. Now, with that said, there are actually still some really good quality products, and sometimes also practitioner only products that you can get from your health food store without a prescription from your naturopath. So I'm not going to sit here and say you can only get everything from your practitioner, because that's not true. And I do hear a lot of practitioners saying that. And I'll be honest, I used to say that as well. But realistically, it's just a way for them to make sure you only buy through them. And I'm always transparent, want to be transparent with you guys. So, you know, there's 100% you can get a lot of things from your health food store and you don't need to see someone. But disclaimer, the reason why it's important to get things from your practitioner is because they're also going to be able to give you advice around that that's going to help support you. So, you know, you can't just go out and self-diagnose yourself with something and then go and buy it and think that that's going to be okay, because sometimes there might be a reason why that might not be best for you, or there might be some extra advice around how to take it and how to best get use out of it. So when you're buying supplements from your practitioner, it's not just about that. It's about the advice and the proper nurturing and care that you're going to get around that. So just a little disclaimer there. So a couple of recommendations when it comes to B vitamin complexes, some over-the-counter products, which are those that you can usually get from health food stores. A couple that I would recommend would probably be Tresels B by Eagle. That's a really good one, and they use methylated Bs. You may be alarmed when you see the price tag. They're quite expensive. It's around $80 for a big bottle, or you can get smaller bottles for like $40 or $50, but they're really good and you will notice the difference. Or Bioceuticals as well. They have really good B vitamins and they're quite readily available even at pharmacies these days. Or you've got some practitioner only brands. So for example, myself, when I prescribe to my clients, one that I particularly use is Bioceuticals Clinical, which is not available over the counter. You have to get through your naturopath or nutritionist. And that one is activated Bs plus ubiquinol. So the reason why B vitamins are going to be great for jet lag is because they literally get the energy cycle working. So if you're already a little bit low in your Bs, this is going to basically kick in and get that cog turning and get that ATP production going, which is what gives you energy. And magnesium is important there as well. So next one, now that we have hopefully gotten over the jet lag and you're ready to enjoy your holiday, we obviously want to prevent ourselves getting sick, because then you won't be able to enjoy your holiday, or you could even risk spending some time in hospital. I can speak for that, and not necessarily for gut health problems, but this is probably what's caused all of my gut health issues. But when I went to England with my family when I was 15, I sadly got appendicitis whilst I was in this town called Hull. And yes, wasn't the funnest thing I've ever experienced. And we did have to cancel a few plans on our big round the world trip. So not very convenient. And I honestly do believe that with what we know now about how important the appendix is for your gut health, which I'll talk about in another podcast, I do believe that that's contributed to a few of my issues today. Nevertheless, that served as a great story to tell. So when it comes to your gut health, there are a few issues that I see happen when people go overseas, and it really depends on where you go. So usually Southeast Asia and South America are the big culprits, because that's where people will get the parasites, or they will just get diarrhea straight away and they're not sure why, and all sorts of things start to happen. What's really important here, especially if you know that you are prone to these kind of things, or you're already someone who suffers from IBS or SIBO, it's really worth seeing your practitioner a couple of months in advance of going away, because we can just help to strengthen your gut a little bit more and make sure that you're taking preventative probiotics, and then you also have those probiotics with you whilst you're overseas. So highly, highly recommend you do that. So first we'll talk about bloating, and then I'm going to talk about constipation and diarrhea. Bloating is obviously the most common one no matter where you go, because you start eating all these foreign foods. And, you know, for myself going to Greece and 2 years ago having gone to Italy, it's a lot of carbs, dairy, and alcohol, let's be honest. So naturally you are going to get a little bit bloated. For myself, I had just come off the back of finishing my SIBO protocol. I'd also been doing AIP protocol, which is the autoimmune protocol. And I knew I was cutting it a bit fine by not properly sealing the deal before going away, but I figured, you know, being a naturopath, I'll know how to deal with it. So I made sure that I was really, really prepared. And when I first got to Greece, it was a bit of a sudden shock to my gut to all of a sudden be eating all this bread and tzatziki and cheese, which I hadn't been having any gluten or dairy for quite a while. So initially, I did feel really bloated, like really uncomfortable, but I really wasn't surprised either. Then, though, I continued to do the things I'm about to talk about. And interestingly, I had this complete turnaround. Probably after about 7 days, all of a sudden, everything went away. And my gut was actually the best that it's been in a very long time. So I'm actually going to do another podcast all around just gut health in general. And we're going to focus on SIBO and IBS. So we'll talk more about that then. But this will certainly serve as some useful info to tie over till then. So with bloating, going back to the enzymes, you definitely want to be taking enzymes with your foods, especially if they're foods you're not usually used to. So again, going back to Multigest and Metagest, they would be my big recommendations. If you don't want to have two products you're taking, because yeah, I understand that's a bit much for some people, you could just take the Multigest, which has the variation of enzymes. And it's also got gentian, so which is a herb that we also know as gentiana. So that's a bitter herb. And bitter herbs help to stimulate digestion and also help to stimulate your own production of enzymes, which is ultimately what we want. So the Multigest and the Metagest both have gentian in them. So, you know, Multigest would be good. The only reason why I add Metagest as well is because it has the betaine, which is the hydrochloric acid. And even though it has some enzymes in it, it doesn't have all the enzymes that Multigest have. So I'm just kind of covering all bases there. So another one that you could try. So a couple, I'm going to talk about first what I took, and then I'll add a couple of other things that you could also interchange with. So I also took with me Enteris Gel sachets. So Enteris Gel is an interesting thing. It's not something that's absorbed. It's actually more of a physical product. So how could I explain? It's kind of like a silicone gel that goes through the gastrointestinal tract, and it's like acts like a sponge, and it just sticks to everything and then takes it out and excretes it. So therefore it soaks up the sickness basically, and that's kind of how the Enteris Gel words it as well. It is pricey, but I must say it's one of the best things I've ever used. Whenever, like, I'll give you a good example. It's almost like a bit of a life hack, if anything. One day I had a little bit of a moment and I went and got myself, this was like 6 months ago, I went and got myself a block of Cadbury dairy chocolate, and I don't even eat dairy chocolate. And to be honest, don't eat a lot of chocolate in general. I'm not a sweet tooth, I'm a savory tooth. But this day I must have been having my period or something, and I went and got, and I ate the whole block to myself within about 10 minutes. It was just like I became someone else. And I knew after I snapped out of that spell that I was going to be in a whole world of pain in about an hour. So I went and got an Enteris Gel sachet and I consumed it, and I hardly got any symptoms at all. And I know when I've had dairy chocolate in the past that that's definitely not the case. So that is how good this stuff is. It basically just soaks it up so that it gets excreted before it gets to get absorbed or create more problems. So you can take that when you know that you've just had something that might be problematic, but you can also take it, like if you start feeling pain and the sickness, then you can take it then as well. Another really good one that acts in a similar way is activated charcoal. And activated charcoal has so many uses. It's good for bloating, diarrhea, constipation, too much alcohol. They use it in hospitals when someone has overdose on alcohol. So it really just soaks up everything. So that's a really good one as well. I did actually use activated charcoal a few times whilst I was away when I had just overdone it, because I really did overdo it a few days on the food and then wine and all sorts, and I hadn't been drinking for a few months. So there's also some other products that I personally didn't take with me, but I would highly recommend having with you as well. So there are complexes, so herbal complexes, and there are so many beautiful herbs when it comes to helping with bloating and abdominal discomfort. So Nature Sunshine has a really beautiful complex called Bowel Calm, and that's got a lot of our carminative herbs, and it's just a capsule form. So that's a really good one to have on hand. And you could take that with your meal if you think that it's going to be problematic, but of course you can also take it if you get bloating, which is going to help to calm it as well. It's always best to try and take things before just to help as a preventative approach. Another one that I'm sure you've heard of is Iberogast. It's a liquid herbal formula and it's stood the test of time. It's been around for a long time. There's clinical studies done on it, and it's really good for bloating, reflux, indigestion, discomfort, IBS, that kind of thing. So another good one to have on hand. So then in general for gut health, one that, like, if there was one thing that I said to you that you need to take when you go to Southeast Asia, it would be SB, which stands for Saccharomyces boulardii. And a lot of people refer to it as a probiotic. Technically, it's actually yeast, but it's a very beneficial yeast. So SB has a myriad of actions and a lot of clinical studies that have been done on SB. So what it does is it comes along and it's basically, it does a job and then it leaves. So it doesn't stick around. So the way I like to look at it is it's kind of like the security guard or like the police officers that rock up to a party and it's gotten out of control. They kick everyone out, they clean up, and then they leave the venue and move on. So in a similar way, what SB does is it it's a yeast that comes along and knocks out the pathogenic bacteria. It also does a bit of a clean up at the same time. It helps to heal leaky gut, helps to improve your immune system, and improve short chain fatty acid production and all these other beneficial things. And it also helps to modulate your own positive bacteria as well. But what's really important for traveling is that it helps to prevent parasites. It helps to reduce diarrhea associated with infection, and it will help with healing as well. So I cannot recommend taking SB enough. Even better, one that I do recommend is lactoferrin plus SB, and Bioceuticals make a product that has those two things in it. And lactoferrin is naturally produced in milk. So obviously they're going to use cow's milk here. So if you are vegan, this might not be right for you. So you can just go with SB on its own. Lactoferrin is really beneficial as well for preventing traveler's diarrhea and preventing infections. And what it can actually do as well is it can help to break the cell wall of bacteria. So if you do have some sort of infection of a bad bacteria, it can help to get rid of it as well. So lactoferrin plus SB would be a good one. And the good thing is you can get shelf-stable ones now as well, so you don't have to be as worried about them being not refrigerated. However, if you can get them in a fridge, it does make them last a bit longer. So if you are prone, if you're really prone to issues when it comes to going to Southeast Asia and getting traveler's diarrhea, then I would highly recommend some extra probiotics. So there are some clinically trialed probiotics that have been shown to prevent traveler's diarrhea. So I've actually got some information here from Dr. Jason Horlack's probiotic guide. So Dr. Jason Horlack, he is also known as the probiotic advisor. He actually studied his PhD on probiotics, and he is the go-to for every naturopath and nutritionist. He does a lot of training for naturopaths and nutritionists, and he's got a whole guide that a lot of us prackies use when it comes to looking at the best clinically proven probiotic. And anyone out there, and I can't believe I see this a lot online, people saying that there's no evidence for probiotics, they don't do anything, they're just expensive urine and blah, 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 is absolute load of bullshit, because there is so much evidence for probiotics, and not to mention like the myriad of people who get benefits from them. So I just don't know where they're getting that from. Anyway, so this is from Dr. Jason Horlack's guide, who's a naturopathic doctor. So first of all, a strain of probiotic that you would, I'm sure, have heard of is Lactobacillus acidophilus. And the particular type of strain is actually LA5. So this is really important to note, because it's all well and good knowing the species, so Lactobacillus acidophilus, but if you are looking for the benefit that's been shown in a clinical trial, you actually need to know that little number on the end, because there are different types of that species. So Lactobacillus acidophilus LA5 is the one that's been shown where significantly fewer tourists given those probiotics develop traveler's diarrhea. And this was also along with Bifidobacterium lactis BB12. So I should have said at the start of this podcast, maybe get yourself a pen and paper, because there is so much info in this one. Another really well-known probiotic that we use a lot in clinic is Lactobacillus rhamnosus GG, and we also sometimes refer to it as LGG. So again, this is one where your probiotic might say Lactobacillus rhamnosus, but is it GG? So this is really important. So In this particular study that he cites, there was a 47% reduced risk of developing traveler's diarrhea in those who took LGG. So then he's also cited Saccharomyces boulardii here as well. And there was a 21% reduction in incidence by taking 250 milligrams a day, or a 25% reduction with taking 500 milligrams per day compared to placebo. So that's really great, because, you know, 25% might sound like not much, but if there's a 25% chance that you can reduce your risk of getting something that is can often be very annoying and may even hospitalize you, then 100% you should be doing that. So I thought that would be really useful to cite that really useful information there from Jason's work. So in terms of those probiotics, that is something that you probably should speak to your practitioner about, and they'll be able to help you source those. But given the fact that I've given you those strains now, you can check if your local health food store has those particular strains. And if they do, awesome. All right, the next one, when it comes to going to these countries where you may be prone to getting a parasite, is to take an antiparasitic with you. So an antiparasitic in my world are particular herbs that are clinically shown to help to either prevent or get rid of the parasite. So there are so many different complexes out there. And with this one, again, I would probably recommend practitioner only. So speak to your practitioner. So there are all types. So we've got Intesticlear by Orthoplex, and we've got Parex by Metagenics. There's different Artemisia blends, and Artemisia is known as Chinese wormwood. Heaps of studies done on this one when it comes to improving gut health, getting rid of parasites and all sorts. There's heaps of herbs that help with this kind of stuff, but those products that I just mentioned would be a really good start. So then we move on to, okay, so we just talked about general gut health stuff and bloating, but now we're going to talk a bit more specifically about, okay, what happens if you get constipation? What happens if you get diarrhea? What products do you take? Given that we're just talking about traveler's diarrhea, we'll talk about diarrhea. So if you do get diarrhea, what's going to happen? Obviously, you're going to become dehydrated. You're going to lose a lot of fluid. Therefore, you're going to lose electrolytes. Do not underestimate how important replenishing your electrolytes is. Because if you lose those electrolytes, you can start to become dizzy, faint, you may even pass out. And this is the reason, or a big reason, why people end up getting hospitalized. So it's so important that you take electrolytes with you. So for example, I took electrolytes with me on this holiday. I take them everywhere I go, whenever I go on holidays, because especially when you're doing a lot of exercise, you're also going to lose a lot of electrolytes as well. I personally took a magnesium complex with me that naturally had electrolytes in it, but you can even take along with you the Basica sachets. Basica is a product by Biopractica, and that's a really good alkalizing drink that has all your electrolytes in it, and it will help with your energy levels as well. And you can get that in sachets. So really easy to carry around with you and put it in your drink bottle, and it's got a nice flavor as well. Even at minimum, if you can't even get that, go to your local supermarket and just get some of the Hydrolyte tablets or the Gastrolyte or any of those. They all just have the same old electrolytes in it. And I can tell you they will absolutely benefit you, particularly if you're sweating a lot or you've got diarrhea. So make sure that you do that first. So another thing that can help with diarrhea is activated charcoal, and that can also help with constipation as well. So that basically it's going to help to soak up liquid. But what you really will need to do most likely if you've got profuse diarrhea, particularly if it goes watery, is you taking loperamide or loperamide, which you can get in things such as GastroStop or Imodium. So you can get those from your pharmacy. When I've gone to Southeast Asia, I've usually taken GastroStop with me just in case that happens and you get caught out somewhere and you don't have a pharmacy nearby. Good thing is most pharmacies all pharmacies are going to stock loperamide. Sorry, I can never say it properly. But, you know, there's sometimes where you might be remote somewhere and you don't have these things. So I highly recommend having that with you. But if it is an infection and there is some sort of parasite that's taken hold, you will need to get that seen to quite quickly, depending on what kind of parasite it is. If you take the gastrostop, the electrolytes, and you just focus on the brat diet, so like just, even though this is sometimes problematic as well, but just the bread, rice, potato, just the real basic stuff until it passes, and it does pass, then you can wait to see to it till you get back and then see your naturopath and we can do some gut healing work. However, if it's become really problematic and it's not stopping, please go to the pharmacy. In Southeast Asia, you don't need a prescription for certain things that you would need a prescription for here. Just do what they say and just take what they tell you to take so that you can just move on and just deal with your holiday, you know, enjoy your holiday better. And then again, your naturopath can clean up the work when you get home. But the most important thing is you don't end up in hospital. So just do what they say. They're professionals. They know what they're talking about. And I've had to do that before. And I remember one time, I think I was in Thailand, and I had really watery diarrhea to the point where it literally was water. Like there was no food solids or anything. It was just water. And every time I ate within 10 minutes, it would pass through. And I went to the pharmacy, and lo and behold, they gave me a couple of things. I think they gave me GastroStop and something else. And within half the day, I already felt better. And I just thought, wow, I wish I'd gone sooner. So, you know, sometimes you've got to do those things. All right, so then constipation, which is obviously the opposite thing. And this is very common because you start eating all the breads and pastas and cheeses, and if you've been eating quite a healthy, fibrous diet, and then all of a sudden you just start shoving in all these processed carbohydrates, then you're probably going to become a little bit backed up. So the first thing that you can do, and we're going to talk about magnesium in a second anyway, where it's going to come into play somewhere else. So magnesium is a first port of call that you can try, particularly magnesium citrate. That's probably the one that I would recommend. So even though we use magnesium for muscle cramping and headaches and energy and so on, it also has the added benefit of helping with constipation because it attracts water to the colon, therefore bulking out your stools and then making them easier to pass. Sometimes this actually creates an unwanted effect in people that already have loose stools, so we have to use a different form of magnesium for them. But magnesium citrate can benefit, particularly also with my SIBO clients who are methane dominant, which leads to constipation. Again, high dose magnesium citrate is good for SIBO. So you do need a high dose to help with constipation. So you would probably be looking at minimum 500 milligrams in one dose, probably before bed, so that you have the bowel movement in the morning. But you can even go up to 1,000 or 2,000 milligrams, but just titrate it, see how you go. And if you need more, you can always add more, but it can work quite effectively. So just start low. Another gentle approach, you could use something like my Cleanse Me tea, because there is dandelion root, burdock root, and a few other beautiful detoxing herbs. And quite often we work through the liver, which will stimulate the bowels. So Cleanse Me tea is a good one if you've got the facilities to be able to have boiled clean water, then you could do that. Or you could take along with you, again, if you're prone to constipation and you're being prepared, you could take a herbal laxative with you. So there are so many complexes when it comes to laxatives, herbal laxatives. You could also get your naturopath to make you up a liquid formula, depending whether or not that's convenient for you. But there's so many complexes. So I've just popped one in here called Laxatone by Metagenics, which has a really nice blend in there as well. But you could even pop into your local health food store and ask them what they've got available. There are so many things. You can get sachets, capsules, tablets, powders, all sorts of things. So there's plenty available. Another one you could also try would be Senna tea as well. But it just depends on your gut. For me, even the Senna leaf, which is more mild than Senna pods, is just too full on for me. Like it causes the most insane griping, so I can't have Senna. So just be careful when you're playing around with stuff like that. So moving on, we've got hydration. So we obviously talked about electrolytes. And like I said, if you're doing a lot of physical activity, so for us, we were doing so much uphill walking. It's not funny. Like, I think half of our accommodations were upstairs. So we were always sweating. And I always had electrolytes with me or in my drink bottle. So I highly recommend that. The other thing, though, of course, is the actual purity of your water. So fortunately, you know, you can get bottled water pretty easily, but there are certain places that you may go overseas where water quality is really poor and you're just a bit dubious. So there are a couple of things you can do. You can get water purifying tablets, which usually contain something like iodine or chlorine that you can put into the water. Or even better, you can splash out and get it and spend a little bit more money, and there are actually filter water bottles that you can get from specialists like camping and hiking stores or online and stuff like that. So if you are going to somewhere, say like Nepal, or you're going out to a remote area where you're a bit worried, I'd probably suggest doing a bit of research on that. So the next topic is aches and pains. So this is a big one that I think most people should be prepared for, because you just never know when you're going to get a sore back or sore ankles, or you may actually injure yourself. And I personally don't like to take Panadol or Nurofen or anything like that very often unless I need to. And of course, there are times when you need to, and that's fine. But just because of, I really try and protect my gut, and those things are quite abrasive on the gut. So I like to have an alternative. Good news is there's heaps of alternatives. So first of all, before we even go to internal stuff, topically, magnesium oil is fantastic for aches and pains. So I personally took a magnesium oil with me. The one that I used was the Ancient Minerals Magnesium Oil, plus MSM, I think it has in it as well. And magnesium oil works surprisingly really quickly because of the way that it gets absorbed directly into the muscles through the skin. So it's actually quite good. It can be better than taking magnesium powder if you want fast acting relief, but I would recommend taking both combined because they're both going to have benefits. So I quite often had a sore back whilst I was away. I've been prone to back issues for a long time, and I was often using that, and I found it worked quite quickly. I also took with me ATP Science, the brand. They have this product called Capzia, which is a topical roll-on. It feels a bit like Deep Heat. That's a really good product to have on hand with you as well. And you can use other things like Tiger Balm and those kind of quite volatile oil topical solutions as well. I always recommend that you have something like that with you. Internally speaking, having magnesium powder, again, really useful. So you can start to see where there are a lot of crossovers here. So if there was one thing that I would recommend taking, it would be magnesium powder, because it's going to help with so many things. So in particular, taking a complex that's got magnesium, your methylated B vitamins, and your electrolytes, that's going to be really useful. And there are so many pracky brands that make those, everything from MediHerb, Metagenics, Bioceuticals. They all have some sort of complex in every single brand. So have a look for those. Or if you are prone to joint pain, or you actually want some sort of natural complex or natural anti-inflammatory complex that's going to serve as an alternative to taking with you Panadol or non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which are things such as Nurofen, then there are a couple I've listed here that are really good. So first of all, Bioceuticals make, this one's by Bioceuticals Clinical, so you will need to get it from your naturopath. It's called Theractive Pain. So this one is, I've tried this myself, and I've even used it for period pain as well, and it's a really great product. So it's got curcumin, which I'm sure you should all know by now is a potent anti-inflammatory. It's got billions of research papers on it. White willow bark or Salix alba. So white willow bark, interesting fact if you don't already know, is the plant where aspirin originally was derived from. So that's naturally going to be good for pain as an anti-inflammatory. It's also got Boswellia, which is actually known as frankincense. And Boswellia, again, very potent anti-inflammatory. We often use that for arthritis and painful conditions. We've got Jamaican dogwood, which is good for cramping, particularly in period pain as well. And ginger. And ginger, do not underestimate, is a very powerful anti-inflammatory as well. So that's a really good complex. If you want to have a natural all-rounder on hands, take that with you. I think that's a really great idea. The other product here, and I haven't tried this one, but I've heard really good reviews, is in Flavonoid Intensive Care by Metagenics. So this one's a little bit similar to TheraActive Pain, but has a few different ingredients. So that one has Boswellia as well. It's also got the turmeric and ginger. But where this one's different, it's also got quercetin, hesperidin, which is a bioflavonoid from citrus. It's also got the white willow bark, but it's also got capsicum. So slightly different, but similar action. So a lot of anti-inflammatory action there. But what's also going on in here is got a bit of antihistamine action as well. So if you're someone who's actually prone to histamine reactions, like I remember when I went to Vietnam, I got this histamine flare up on my face. It was so embarrassing. Within a day, I had all these red blotches all over my face and it just looked awful and it was painful and red and itchy. And luckily someone had an antihistamine at the time and it worked, but you could use something like this instead. So this has a bit of a dual action. So in Flavonoid Intensive Care by Metagenics, that's a good one. Again, practitioner only, but good, worth to have. So that's for aches and pains. The other thing as well that I suffered from, not as bad as when I went to Italy, but when I first got to Athens, my ankles just blew up like a balloon. They just got so swollen and it's really uncomfortable as well. And particularly my right ankle, because I have quite flat feet and my right ankle's even more flat, it really rolls in. And I am supposed to wear orthotics and I do sometimes, but I'll be honest, I'm not as good with them as I should be. And so my right ankle was pretty bad. Fortunately, when we got to the islands, it's a little bit cooler there. So I think it was because it wasn't as hot, they went down, thankfully. But that's if you do get swelling, sometimes it can also be an electrolyte imbalance. So you need to make sure you keep up your electrolytes again. You can do some lymphatic drainage by actually basically laying on the floor and putting your feet up on the walls to allow them to drain out. But another thing that it can also stem from is the long haul flights. So some people recommend compression socks as well. So I think I'm going to try that next time I go overseas and actually see if that helps. So then we have sinuses. So fortunately, I'm not someone who's very prone to blocked sinuses. I think back in the day when I wasn't as healthy, when I used to go overseas, I did get blocked sinuses a bit more regularly, but I don't as much anymore. So it just depends whether it's coming from a histamine reaction or something else. But if it is a histamine reaction, once again, that in flavonoid intensive care, that could be useful. Or activated charcoal can help to bind to histamine. So certain binders, they can help bind histamine and excrete it. There's also Histamune Clear by Bioceuticals Clinical. There's lots of different complexes, to be honest. So well, that's probably something that you need to speak to your practitioner about, but it's good to know that there are some natural products out there. There's also another product by MediHerb called Albizia Complex, I think it is, and that's a really good one. I've used that in clients for hay fever and that works quite well. It's a herbal-based one. And then if you are someone who is prone to blocked sinuses in general and you are quite dependent on nasal sprays, there are lots of natural nasal sprays, particularly those that contain saline, which is salt water, and xylitol. So they can help to basically unblock the sinuses. So there's one called X-Clear that you could try that's got xylitol, saline. It's also got grapefruit seed extract in it, which apparently can actually help with nasal infections as well. So there you go. So that would be my very comprehensive list on how to naturally travel whilst going overseas and hopefully prevent all the nasties. I mean, that if you've got a low immune system, you might want to be taking zinc and vitamin C as well. If you're planning for a baby, you might want to be taking a good quality prenatal supplement. There's so many different things, and of course that's why you need to just speak with your practitioner. I've also added a few little bonus points in here as well, which aren't necessarily, you know, naturopathic, but are just little things that I found useful if you are going overseas. One big one would be having tweezers with you. You never know when you might get a little splinter, or you might get an ingrown hair, or just something random and you just really need tweezers for. For me, that was because I decided that I wanted to try a prickly pear, and there are prickly pears everywhere in Greece. And my brother and I were walking to the supermarket and we saw this huge overhanging prickly pear cactus, and there was some prickly pear fruit on it. And I'm sure many of you would be familiar with this cactus. It's a very Instagrammable cactus that you often see, but the actual fruit in it is edible. And I had seen that a lot of people in Greece were eating these things, and I really wanted to try one. So I went to pick one, and I was totally fine. I had picked this bit of fruit off, and my brother and I were looking at it. And then this little Greek lady comes running over, and she's like, no, don't eat that. And I was like, oh, why? And she's like, you'll prick yourself. And I was like, oh, I'm fine. Look at my hands. And she's like, I actually don't know how you just did that. Everyone hurts themselves. You've got to wear gloves. And she was just so, you know, like, make sure you don't do that again. Anyway, so we went to the shops, and because the one that I picked, it wasn't that great. And I was like, well, I really should get a better one. We'll get another one when we come back. And so I came back, and, you know, I was a little bit naive, and I thought that I was invincible from the last prickly pear. So I went to pick another one, and sure enough, I got this like tiny, tiny little splinter prickle in my finger, and you couldn't even see it. It was like one of those cat hair splinters, like you can barely see it. And even though it was tiny, it was so annoying because everything I touched, it just felt like something was pricking me. Sure enough, though, I had some tweezers. I looked under the light and I was able to pull that bugger out. And yes, I'm so glad I brought tweezers with me. So another one I've added to this little bonus section would be blister bandages. So when you're going on lots of hikes and walks and things like that, you often become prone to getting a blister, particularly on the back of your ankle, and they are so annoying. I personally didn't get one, but my husband got one, and I just so happened to pack some blister bandages with me, and he found them really useful. You can get those from the chemist. This one, I can't remember the brand, but it's like in this little blue, like, pouch thing. You get them from the chemist. And then another one, this one is actually quite naturopathic, but if you're someone who's prone to travel sickness or you're going to be on boats, some ginger tablets would be a really good one as well. Then finally, when it comes to the more tech side of things, a couple of really good travel tips. First of all, if you're not with ING already, I would highly recommend that you set up an account with ING, because when you go overseas, as you may know, you get slugged really hefty withdrawal or usage fees with your bank. Some banks are getting better now, particularly when ING came out and kind of changed the game by basically eliminating all bank fees, even overseas fees. So other banks are starting to follow suit. But just check with your bank. Now, I know that some people do get the travel passports, which is the cash passport. So you basically preload it with money and therefore you can use it overseas and get low fees or something like that. I used to do that, bloody pain in the ass. But now with ING, we don't even have to bother with any of that. Basically, any fee you get charged whilst you use ING overseas, they reimburse you straight away. So therefore, you can use your card in the exact same way that you'd use it anywhere in Australia and not get charged. And the good thing about that was because the exchange rate was much better when we used our card compared to if we withdrew cash. So just to put that in perspective, if we used our card, the exchange rate was 61 cent euro to the Aussie dollar. If we withdrew cash, it was 54 cents euro to the Australian dollar. So, you know, it does add up. So, you know, instead of it being almost double, it was just a little bit less than double. So it definitely adds up. Then finally, the last tip, and this one came from my brother because he has been traveling a lot the last few months overseas, is this app called Maps Me, or you, when you look for it, it's spelled maps.me, and it's basically like Google Maps, but you can use it offline. So this is something that a lot of people get annoyed with, is obviously with Google Maps, once you're offline and you don't have your Wi-Fi, you can't search things unless you search it whilst you got Wi-Fi and then you head on out and the map's already preloaded. But then you have other problems such as, you know, if you need to add another stop or you accidentally get out of it and you don't have it anymore and all those things. So Maps Me, basically, when you get to that country and you have Wi-Fi, open up Maps Me, it'll load the map for that country. And then you can use it offline. And the good thing about it is it already has even common destinations. People have added their own little destinations in there and reviews and all sorts of stuff in there. You can add your own location on where you are so you can get home and you can use it all offline. So I found that to be an absolute godsend. So I would highly recommend you get that app, and therefore you don't need to worry about always needing to get Wi-Fi to find directions and things like that. So I hope that this served as a really useful podcast that hopefully you can even come back to and take some notes from whenever you're going traveling, or you may have a friend who's going traveling, or you may even be one of my clients, and this might help you to get some more value and more understanding of what you need to do. If you think that this is going to be useful to other people, please share. I absolutely appreciate when you share this with everyone and PM me any feedback or words that you've got to say after listening to this. I just love receiving your feedback, and even if it's some constructive feedback as well on anything else that you would have liked to have heard, I'd love to hear that. And if you want, you can always share this on your Instagram, your Facebook, or you can even leave me a review. I'd absolutely love that. So till next time, I hope you enjoyed this. I'll see you very soon. Thank you.